Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
The Bridge presents Real Men of Jesus.
Real Men of Jesus.
Today we salute you, Mr. Coffee Drinking, Donut Eating Background Stander.
Mr. Coffee Drinking, Donut Eating Background Stander.
Through the sweet aroma and delectable sweetness of coffee and donuts, you've managed to tune out everything that goes on around you.
What's that you say?
It might be 95 degrees outside, but you need your hot coffee to make you warm.
Sorry about my bill.
While lesser men are forced into conversation, listening, and helping out, you maintain your sweet distance, enjoying the sugary goodness that is yours and only yours.
I love free coffee and donuts.
So here's to you, O Deacon of the Dessert Bar, because in your own world, you truly are the sweetest of them all.
Mr. Coffee Drinking Donut Eating Background Stander.
It is beginning to take new responsibility, and that's the challenge for us today as we look at ourselves and to see in what way, because I guarantee you, everybody fits into this category in one way or another, of how it is that you are the coffee-drinking, donut-eating background stander, that God is waiting to take a new commitment, to make that next step, to take a new risk in being a part of a ministry that you know will make a difference in the world around you. Begin to start thinking about what that means, and let's be in prayer as we think about that. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have brought us here today. And we thank you, Lord, that in the midst of being here, we can take a new responsibility about what it means to be one of your children. Lord, too often we come in here thinking this is really all about us, and that we're here to feel the goodness of God and the joy of what it means to praise and have great music and a wonderful time with our friends. But Lord, until we start taking responsibility to do something in your name that we've not been willing to do, it's only at that point that we begin to be the one that you really have called us to be. Lord, set our hearts to listen to you, to be aware of what your call is to us individually and corporately, and help us, Lord, to be one of those folks that's no longer a background stander, no, not only here to drink the coffee and eat the donuts, but to be one who is willing to say that I am here, Lord, and I am ready for you to take me forward into a new and wonderful adventure of faith. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Show Daddy your picture.
Oh, did you draw this? That's beautiful. You're quite the little artist.
Yeah, tell Daddy what it is.
No, let me guess. That's a big orange wall.
It's fire.
Fire. Yes, of course it's fire. It's a big wall of fire, and that must be the fireman.
Actually, Allie told me it's a picture of hell.
You mean heck, right? Right, Allie? So, is that the devil?
Nope, it's you.
Me? I'm... Why am I in heck, sweetie?
Because that's what Grandpa said.
Grandpa said that? What? Grandpa told you that I'm going to heck?
He said hell.
Really? Really? Why did Grandpa say that?
Because you don't go to church.
Grandpa said that. Where were you?
I was in church.
Okay, I'm gonna go across the street, because if I'm gonna go to heck, I'm taking him with me.
Well, the prodigal son returns. Of course, no one applauds a faithful son, because the faithful son never leaves.
The faithful son has nowhere to go.
So what's your angle, Raymond?
Nothing. I was thinking about Dad.
Oh, you're coming back because of Dad?
Yeah. Every Sunday, that's right.
And you're gonna sit in the pews and be with the family.
Hey, if Dad can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
What?
Dad doesn't do it.
What do you mean?
I do it. Mom, Deborah, the kids do it. Dad, he's an usher.
So?
So that means he spends most of his time out here, not in there. Back here, he doesn't have to listen to all the, as he puts it, mumbo jumbo.
God of all creation.
That's right, Ray. Oh, yeah, occasionally he'll go down the aisle with the collection basket, wink at the pretty ladies, and he hustles back to count the money and clocks out. It's a beautiful setup. Mom can't get on his case for not going to Mass. He's here every Sunday serving the Lord. He's just doing it from the first-class lounge.
Looks like I'm ahead here, boys. Ooh, look at this, a $50 bill.
Ooh.
Someone did something to somebody.
Hold it. This is it? This is what you do every Sunday?
What?
This, laughing and talking about women and betting on who collected the most money? Isn't this where Jesus is supposed to come in and turn this table over?
Since when did you start wearing sandals?
You're so full of it, Dad, you know? Acting all high and mighty, telling me that I'm gonna burn in you know where. And this is it? This is what you wanna pass on to me, your little sportsman's lodge? You know what? Forget it. I'm not going to church, okay? Because I don't need your hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
Oh, hypocrisy.
Who are you to judge? There's no hypocrisy. I made a commitment to the Lord, and I'm here every Sunday helping. You want to break your commitment to your family, to Father Hubley, and to God? Go right ahead. Don't worry. It's a dry heat.
Fine. All right. I'm not going to break my commitment. I said I'm coming every week, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Not only that, I would like to volunteer to be an usher.
What?
I want to be an usher. Come on, Dad. That would be great. You and me, we could usher together.
You mean you want to be an usher like your old man?
What? Why? Why so funny?
You know how long the waiting list is? It took me 20 years to become an usher.
Anybody watch the Knicks game last night?
Yeah.
For the first time, it was great.
I like the trade of Mason and Johnson.
That, my friends, is a coffee, drink, and donut eating background stander. Finding the job in the church where they don't have to listen to the mumbo jumbo, really don't have to do anything that they don't want to do. They get to sit out the whole thing from the first class lounge. You know, it's amazing how many times we will look at what the Lord is calling us to do, and we will find that thing that is the least that we could do for the Lord. And we'll do the least every time possible. You know, I really do think that when you look at the scripture, there are a few times where we can see what the Lord is inviting us to do. That the Lord is inviting us to become involved. That the Lord is inviting us to get out of our comfort zone. The Lord is inviting us to take that first step. And that in the midst of that invitation, that all of us are asked to look at what it is that the Lord is actually calling you to do. The story that is one of my very favorites is the story of Jesus walking on the water out of the 14th chapter of Matthew. But it's actually the story, if you look at it, of Peter walking on the water. Because you see, the question is not whether Jesus could walk on the water or not. Jesus can do pretty much whatever Jesus wanted to do. It was the question of whether anybody else would join him. And so let me give you the Mollet version of this particular scripture. It is a story where Jesus has been with his disciples, and I think Jesus had just pretty much had enough of them and said, why don't you all go on a boat trip, and I'll meet you later on. And so they get on the boat, and they head out to sea. Jesus goes off and spends some time by himself in prayer. And it was in the middle of the night, in the darkest hour of the night, about 3 a.m, that Jesus comes walking toward them in the boat on the water. He is walking on the water. And as he comes toward them, the disciples see this shadowy figure in the distance, and they're frightened because they think that it's a ghost. But it's Peter who's in the boat who says, no, that's not a ghost, that's Jesus, I recognize him. And he says, Jesus, if that's really you, let me get out of the boat and walk on the water like you're walking on the water. And Jesus says, come on, Peter, get out of the boat. You know, it's a frightening thing in the days of Jesus to be on top of the water. To be a fisherman in the days of Jesus was a very frightening kind of occupation because it was underneath the waters that you couldn't see where the sea monsters were and the things that were frightening to them, that they didn't know what was there. It's just like when I was on South Padre Island back in the 70s, it was when Jaws came out. We swam in the ocean every day, all summer long. We were in the ocean, and then Jaws came out, and we decided we weren't going to watch it because we'd heard it was pretty scary and probably would not make you want to go into the Gulf of Mexico. And we were watching just the people catch sharks every day on the jetties that was going out just where we were swimming. And so after we saw Jaws, every time we'd go out into the water, we heard boom, 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 boom. I walked on water a few times getting back to shore. It's that kind of scary feeling of not knowing what's there, the fright that comes to you when you're not sure what's ahead. And so it was a big event for Peter to step out of the boat because, I mean, he wasn't just going to sink and tread water there. He was going to sink and be taken. But he got out of the boat, and he started to walk on the water. But as the story goes, all of a sudden a big wind came up. And as he was walking on the water, this wind started to push the waves up around his ankles and his calves and his knees. And all of a sudden his mind went, wait a minute, I can't walk on water. And what happened? He started to sink. And he reaches out for Jesus and he says, Master. And Jesus took his hand and took him back on top of the water and walked him back into the safety of the boat. The story reminds us that the reason we're here is to be able to see Jesus in some real sense rather than some shadowy figure that's out there in the distance that we can't recognize, that we couldn't pick Jesus out of a lineup if he was in front of us. That the reason that we're here is to have and to build a relationship with Christ that enables us to hear what Christ says to us and to find the comfort of Christ that we seek in our lives. When Jesus was recognized by Peter, Peter said, Jesus, help me make my first step out of the boat. Help me get out of my safety and my comfort here in the boat and let me come to you. Let me be with you. Let me be a part of who you are and what your work is. And he got out of the boat and he started to walk and he could do it until all of a sudden the world happened to him. Stuff happened to him. Storms happened to him. It's just like what happens to us. We are in the midst of life that is difficult and is frightening. And we worry that when we take that step out of the boat, that we are vulnerable to the things that are around us. And we feel at times like we are sinking, drowning, can't breathe any longer. But my friends, if you don't know what Jesus looks like, if you're not in there and being able to look across the waves and to say, that's the Lord, and I know that that's the Lord's hand, who are you going to reach to? What are you going to reach for? When you're feeling like you're drowning, how are you going to reach out to some shadowy figure out there? It is this place, in this environment, that we begin to discover who Jesus is, what Jesus looks like, how he sounds to us, what it means to be in a relationship with him, so that when we start going down into the water, that we can reach out and to feel his touch and to be brought back into the safety of the boat again. You see, it's not just about coming to church. It's about taking responsibility for your own faith. And it's not only about what Jesus can do for you and feeling that touch and helping you rise above the waters, but it's also about what are you going to do for the Lord and for your neighbor? Love God and love your neighbor are the two greatest commandments Jesus tells us. Now, I want you to think about communion today. The Last Supper. Remember the Last Supper? Jesus had been telling his disciples for weeks that he was going to be killed and was not going to be with them any longer. And they didn't get it. They didn't hear it. They weren't willing to hear it. It was just too frightening a thing for them to hear. But I want you to think about Jesus in the upper room with his disciples, knowing that within days, he was going to leave in their hands the work that he had begun. Think about Jesus being here today, looking around this group and going, holy moly, this is who I'm leaving it with? Jesus looks at his disciples, at this dysfunctional group of human beings, and says, oh my God, you mean I have to leave it in their hands? The fate of our faith and our belief in God is in the hands of these 12 people? Jesus still looks at every communion service and said, these are the ones in whose hands I'm leaving the faith. These are the ones that are going to be responsible for sharing the love of God with others, for healing the sick, for reaching out to those who feel like they're drowning. You see, it's time for you, and I mean every individual here, to take responsibility for your faith, for your relationship with Christ, for your being able to see Christ in the distance, not only so that you can feel his loving touch and be resurrected by his life, but also to know what Jesus is calling you to do. You are now, my friends, the hands and the feet of Christ. And if Christ is able to do anything in the world, it is because you are doing it in his name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.